Gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Christian community of Mosul in Iraq was obliged to make a stark choice: either pay a tax in order to live in an Islamic state, go away with nothing more than the clothes they were wearing, or stay and be killed with the sword. This is not a story from ancient times or from the Middle Ages. It happened just 10 days ago. The vast majority decided to go away with nothing more than the clothes they were wearing. The people they were dealing with had already shown that they meant business, having slaughtered their way through Syria and across northern Iraq. For the Christians of Mosul, it meant walking up to 40 kilometers across the desert, carrying their children until they found a place of safety, arriving tired, thirsty, hungry, and, one can imagine, deeply sad. A whole civilization and culture, which has survived so many things across the centuries, may now have been destroyed forever. Suddenly, it seems, the world is very insecure and full of great physical dangers. Not just in Iraq. Many of the people killed in the Malaysian airplane over Ukraine still lie in the fields where they fell 2 weeks on, their bodies slowly rotting. The normal decencies of civilized living seem to be suspended, as people full of fear, hatred and violence prevent access to these bodies. Every situation is being exploited by people gripped by fear, hatred and violence. The destruction of Gaza continues without relief, hundreds of innocent people having their lives destroyed before our eyes, while political leaders manipulate the events to suit their own purposes. Fear, hatred, violence, these seem to be the things dominating world affairs at the moment. And put with all of that, the suffocation of African immigrants trying to cross the sea to Italy, the deaths of hundreds of people from a virus in West Africa, the normal problems, so to speak, of famine, thirst and disease, and the many other tragedies cutting across people's lives and leaving them permanently wounded. A great feeling of impotence and irrelevance might well overtake us as we try to reflect on scripture texts and wonder what the Christian faith can offer in such circumstances. Is God not just Santa Claus for grown-ups? The wishful thinking that there is, as today's psalm says, a God of great kindness who is good to all and near to everyone who calls on him. Against a strengthening chorus of agnosticism and atheism, the Church's voice seems feeble, unrealistic, hypocritical. Many good and intelligent young people have decided they do not want to stay with what the Christian faith teaches. it seems to them, at least in the way the church lives it, unintelligent and morally bankrupt. Jesus can sometimes be presented as a kind of Santa Claus for grown-ups, but we must always remember that his engagement with the world ended in failure. He was not able to answer the world's problems. He was not the solution to the world's problems. They are as bad, if not worse, than they were before he came. In the face of fear, hatred, and violence, he too was powerless, and he died as just one more innocent victim of those forces. Today's Gospel reading reminds us of this. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, it begins. This is a turning point in his ministry, a defining moment, as we say nowadays. He saw clearly what his destiny too was likely to be. John had died protesting at injustice. Jesus will die preaching the kingdom he had come to establish. The project of his life, it seems, unsuccessful. The first thing the readings ask of us today is that we listen and look heedfully and hopefully to the generosity of God, and that we continue to do this no matter how bleak and dark the circumstances become. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant. So the voice of God, barely heard perhaps, but distinct and certain, whispered in the desert, sounding in the night, patient and persistent, in spite of the agitation of fear, the restlessness of hatred, and the screaming fury of violence. Under the shadow of the looming cross, Jesus is moved with pity for the people, and goes on doing for them what he has done in more promising times, healing them, feeding them, teaching them. The outcome is in the hands of God, times and hours known only to the Father. John the Baptist remains faithful in his campaign for justice and accepts death without knowing whether that death will be remembered or how that death might contribute, if at all, to the good of the world. Jesus remains faithful in his mission of preaching the kingdom, engaging with the forces of evil that are attacking the lives of the people. But his engagement with them is not on their ground, but on his. His are not the weapons of fear, hatred, and violence. For to fight those things with those things is to descend ever further into the abyss. Paul's extraordinary litany at the end of Romans 8, today's second reading, makes what might seem like an absurd claim that we are more than conquerors, that we conquer overwhelmingly in Christ. Faced with the powerful forces of the world, anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, death, life, angels, principalities, present things, future things, powers, height, depth, anything at all in creation, any of this, all of this, loses its power, because none of it can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That whispering voice, I will renew with you the everlasting covenant. I have loved you with an everlasting love, penetrates through all these things. That love poured into our hearts will, of course, move people to work for solutions, for political and economic solutions to the problems that are destroying people's lives. Man does not live on bread alone, but he does live on bread. The gift of God is an enabling gift, not a soothing cream to take the sting out of human life, but an empowering gift. Give them some food yourselves, Jesus says to the disciples when they come whinging to him. the miracle happens in such a way that it might seem as if the disciples themselves have worked it. It allows the bounty to appear to come from them. There was one basket of scraps for each of the apostles. The gift is within our efforts, for this is how grace works, a power which enables our efforts and sustains them from beginning to end. Listen heedfully and look hopefully to the generosity of God. He is the Creator who wants things to be and who sees them as very good. He is the Redeemer who wants our salvation and who renews with us the everlasting covenant. The kingdom does not consist in food and drink, nor does it consist in political and military strategies. The kingdom means righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is given when Jesus is glorified, and Jesus is glorified through his failure, his death at the hands of fear, hatred and violence. He is the victor, our champion and conqueror, not in the terms and categories of the world, but in a new way. In a new world, in a kingdom that is, as yet, still coming.